Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tet Vav, and we're holding on the last line of Yodalan Amid Beis, and we're in the middle of the sugya of Holocha. So we've had a couple of different issues until now. We discussed Rabbi Shimon's Shita in the Mishnah, which is that an Aveda that's Efshel of Vatla is not considered to be a avoda that will pass. Now, what we came out is it's possible that it's something that Rabbi Shimon is saying in terms of the psul machshava, but it's still a completely kosher concept of avoda. If a czar would do it, it would be pasul. So it's not necessarily a question of whether it is an avoda, but it's a question of whether it's ma'akev. We call this a ma'akev kapor, the ma'akev achilas ha-korban, since it's possible to have a perfectly good korban logistically where it is actually not done. Then we raised another issue, and it's easy to get confused between these two issues. The other issue is where you're doing a holocha, meaning that you're bringing the dam up to the Mizbeach, if it were done without your moving your feet, is that even called holocha? Or would that actually be the wrong way to do holocha, and therefore you were not mekayim the necessary avodas for this carbon? Now, that's a different issue. And so today, the Gemara actually raises that question and gives you a psak that Ula claims is a psak from Rabbi Yochanan, and I will see later on that Ula may be mistaken in how it is that he understood Rabbi Yochanan. Itmar. Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, holacha shelo beregel, lav shma holacha. If you carry the dam without actually moving your feet, so then that's not considered to be a holacha at all. Okay, let's say that that's true. So in other words, let's say I had an assembly line and I moved it that way, and the Kohanim didn't shuffle their feet while they were doing the assembly line, as we learned yesterday from the Mishnah and Psachim. Could I go back and redo it? Or is it like once the dam gets close to the Mizbeach, it's doing it bipsul and you can't just go back and fix it? So that's a question of efshel letakuna or efshel letakuna. Is it possible to go back again and just do it properly? So there's a big difference, obviously, between an active psul and just not having done it bekashrus. Those are two different issues. When you say alocha shalo berega lav shema alocha, is it like doing it as a psul, or it just wasn't done? That's the question. So Toshma, let's take a look from the Mishnah later on that says, kibel hakasher. Vinatan lepasul, we talked about this Mishnah yesterday. So a perfectly kosher Kohen takes the dam, he's mekabelet, and he hands it over to someone, let's say to a czar, right? He gives it to him to pasul. So what we understood was, initially, of course, in the end, we changed our mind, and we will hear, yachzir lekasher, give it back to the Kohen, so then the Kohen can actually move with his walking along the same 5 inches that originally he had just handed over. That's what it seems to say. And let me tell you something. I don't think I'm so stupid. I remember what you told me yesterday. You said that maybe what it means is that the Kohen, not that they have to hand it back to him, but that the Kohen should go and take it from him, right? So even if it means that, like you said yesterday, Ninami, let's say I accept what you told me yesterday, that what it means is that the kosher Kohen should go now and start walking from that point. It's still not going to change anything, because basically it's still telling me that there was no psul at all in handing it over. So I don't care whether it was a kosher halacha or not, but definitely we see from here that you can, in fact, not do the halacha. And from that point on, then you go ahead and you do it. So it's essentially the same idea. You can actually go, if you're going to tell me that there was no way to fix it, how do you explain this? That would have meant that original handing it over would have been an active psul, not a passive psul. That's the tremendous difference. If it's an active psul, what are you going to do about it? You wrecked it. If it's a passive psul, in the sense, okay, you just didn't do it. All right, fine, so I'll do it now, right? So now if you're going to tell me that there's no way to fix it, meaning it's an active psul, and therefore it also was pasul, ifsul Allah, so then why in the world should we say that give it back to the Kohen, or let the Kohen say, you can't do anything about it, it's too late, you messed up the halacha, right? So obviously, you didn't mess up the halacha. Excuse me. You're the one who thinks that the case over here is halacha. Doesn't say anything about halacha. It said he handed it to the czar. Now, what if the czar was not closer to the Mizbeach, huh? What if the czar was further away from the Mizbeach? Would that be halacha? Of course not. So maybe that's what it's talking about. Misavarta the Kohizar Gavai. Well, you think that the Kohen was standing further away and the czar was closer to the Mizbeach. No, it's the other way around. It's talking about that the Kohen was actually closer to the Mizbeach. He handed it to a czar who was further than the Mizbeach, and therefore this is irrelevant to the question of whether I could fix a halacha shelo beregla. That's not called halacha if it's going in the wrong direction, is it? Okay, let's take a look at Ula Amrav Yochanan. Itma, Omar Ula Amrav Yochanan, halacha shelo beregel is psula. Now, that means that even if a kosher kohen takes the dam, but he doesn't take it by moving his feet, he takes it by giving it to the next kohen down the line who doesn't move his foot. In other words, the Mishnah in Psachim, we're assuming, means that every one of them does the kohen shuffle. He takes it, shuffles over to the next kohen, and so on. That's what we're assuming. And it says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if you didn't do it by moving your feet, that it's an actual psul. So what he means is that since Rabbi Yochanan said, the way that Ula quoted him before, Rabbi Yochanan said that halacha shelo beregel lav shma halacha. So what's he adding by saying halacha shelo beregel psula? What do you add by saying psula? You said lav shma halacha. So therefore, the meaning of that word psula is that it is a real psul. It's not just that it's passively, it wasn't done, and so go ahead now and do it. It's an active psul. In which case, that seems to be the whole point of Rabbi Yochanan's addition by adding this new psak. Not only is halacha shelo beregel lav shma halacha, it is actually possible, which seems to say that's the point. You can't fix it once you did it. So Rabbi Nachman asked Ula, how can you possibly say this if the Mishnah later on says not like that? The Mishnah says that if you were mekabel the dam in a kli, it's perfectly kosher kabbalah. Now the kli falls and splatters the blood on the floor. So it spills out of the kli. And a kosher kohen gathers together the dam from the floor. Since it was already mekubal in the kli, there it would be kosher. Now, how is it possible that it's kosher? When it fell on the floor, it splattered and went closer to the Mizbeach without anybody moving their feet to bring it closer to the Mizbeach. And if you can't fix that, what good is it to have a kohen pick it up from the floor? It's too late, buddy. This dam already made its own way towards the Mizbeach, huh? How do you explain that? So you see that we don't hold that just because it made its own way to the Mizbeach, shelo b'halacha, that therefore it's pasul. Well, says Ula, why is that a problem? Maybe it's talking about that the blood splattered away from the Mizbeach, not towards the Mizbeach. Oh, right. This is actually Maxil's demon. The blood all decided to splatter away from the Mizbeach. And so we violate all of our laws of statistics. None of the blood went towards the Mizbeach. I love it. That's the case, right? Just tell me, what does Maxil's demon look like? You're telling me Levaroi Nafik, Legavoi Lo Nafik? It only goes in one direction. Doesn't splatter towards the Mizbeach. I'd love to see that. Well, it's very easy to see that. I mean, let's imagine a case where the blood falls on an incline. And the ground is actually inclined away from the Mizbeach. So any blood that falls, I mean, this is no violation of statistics. This is simple gravity. It's just like old-fashioned physics. Or maybe it's talking about that there's a little bit of a hole where the dam fell into right there on the floor, you know? Maybe it was a guma and it didn't spread. Or maybe we're talking about over here that the dam had been sitting for a while and it actually became very thickened. And it's smicha. So it's a very thick dam, and it doesn't splatter. So what's your problem? Well, my problem is that I don't believe that the Tan of the Mishnah is talking about a ridiculous case that's almost impossible to happen. I mean, the Mishnah is talking about a case where the blood falls. I mean, that means it splatters. So what are you telling me? The Tana goes out of his way to create this weird case and to pretend that that's the case of the dam. And furthermore, it can't be that that's the case. And I'll show you why. This Mishnah actually has a counterpart. So one Mishnah talks about the case where it was nishpach out of the cup onto the floor. But there's another Mishnah that says, Adatani be'idach pirkin, in the other perek it says, that if it was nishpach ala ritzpah directly from the neck of the animal and he wasn't able to get there in time to catch the dam in the kos, and then the kohen was osef it from the floor, then it's possible. Well, I mean, come on. If you want to tell me a chiddush and you want a counter case to the case where it's kosher, you could simply have exactly the same case. You could say, in the event that he was mekabelet in the kos and the kos fell into a hole, or the kos fell with thick dam, then it would be kosher if it fell away from the Mizbeach. But in the event that he had already gotten it into the kos, but it just splattered, then it wouldn't be kosher. But no, you talk about a completely different case, where instead of giving me the straightforward difference, you talk to me about a case where it fell onto the ground directly from the neck of the animal. That means there is no middle case, my friend. And therefore, liflog b'didei, you should have said, b'med, v'arim amurim kishayatza l'chutz. But if it was nichlas r'fnim, if the blood splattered towards the Mizbeach, it would be possible. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say that, which is the obvious thing to say, which means that Ula is up the creek without a paddle. Tiyufta. This is definitely, you see from here, that you certainly can be mitakein. There's no din of it being possible as an active psul. That's for sure. So tiyufta of what Rabbi Shimon, what Ula said. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily, Rashi points out, that Rabbi Yochanan is tiyufta, because Ula was the one who suggested that the meaning of halacha being shelo berego, being possul, that means bedavka, that iefshar to be mitakein. But not necessarily. It could be that Rabbi Yochanan was saying that it absolutely requires tikkun. It doesn't necessarily mean that Ula's diak and Rabbi Yochanan was correct. Okay, so be'etzem, this is a tiyufta, but it's a tiyufta of Ula. Now, in the Mishnah, we talked about the machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon about whether shelo lishma passels with a halacha. Now, since it's possible, says Rabbi Shimon, this is what we thought it meant, and in the end, we're going to get back to that. Since it's possible to be mevatel the halacha, in the end of this sugya, we're going to say, look at the Mishnah. If the Mishnah says efshar levatla, it means it's theoretically efshar levatla. It doesn't mean that we were mevatla. However, as I pointed out to you earlier, it's easy to get confused between the two questions over here. Are we talking about the essential nature of the halacha, or are we actually talking about a halacha shelo berego? So because of that, there were some who understood that the machlokas in the Mishnah is talking about specifically a case where it was done shelo berego, which the Gemara will point out is insane. And they actually burst out laughing when they heard this shot in the Gemara Bavli, and they heard this back in Yerushalayim, where they were learning, really. They said, what a bunch of nuts these guys are. So this was one of the Mechaku Allah B'Maharava, where they burst out laughing, hearing it the way they were learning this in Bavli. But right now, were entertaining the possibility that the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan wasn't a machlokas about the essential nature of a halacha where it is being done properly, but rather it was talking about where he actually did the shechita and the kabbalah right up next to the mizbeach, and the only thing that needed to be done was to take your hand and to extend it to the mizbeach, and now to put that dam as you're about to be zorek the dam, right? So this is like a whole new issue. We didn't really talk about this case. We talked about the question of a halacha from far away that was done not by movement, but let's say by a assembly line where nobody moves. Or we were talking about where you have to get it closer to the mizbeach by moving it closer with your hand. What about if you're right up against the mizbeach and now the act of zrika always requires, as part of the zrika, a movement of your hand towards the mizbeach to impart the velocity necessary for the dam to splatter against the mizbeach. So what do? How does that work? Well, you accelerate the dam in the kos, and then you suddenly apply the brakes, right? And then the dam keeps moving to hit the side of the mizbeach. That's what's actually happening. But that means that the acceleration of the dam, that's not the zrika of the dam. The zrika of the dam is where you put on the brakes, and now the dam continues the motion that was imparted to it in the cup, right? So then that means that every zrika of dam consists of an element of holacha, which is that part of the dam's taking off where the cup is accelerating. Oh, man, I got a bunch of half-dead people over here. Man, can I continue? Where will I get the energy to actually speak? Maybe by thinking that perhaps in 100 years, someone will find this stuff and listen to it. I don't know. Could be. Well, what kind of person would that be? Would it be a human? Would it be perhaps some type of AI roaming around? I don't want to talk to that. It's hard, buddy. It's hard. All right. Come on. Give me a break, guys. Menachem, what's with you? I can barely see a smile. I can't even see open eyes. There we go. Mo Willie wouldn't give me a smile from the very beginning of the day. He's having a rough day. We'll daven for you, Bezrat Hashem. Moshe ben Yomin ben Yitzchak. Very good. Bezrat Hashem. All right. So now, we think that that question, that last question, is a holacha shelo beregel. And now, while you're throwing at the dam, part of the zrika of the dam is a type of holacha shelo beregel. And that is a machlokas Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. So let me explain. When we're talking about a holacha rabbati, the kulei amalo pligi dipsula, I mean, if you're walking a real holacha, you did the shechita 10 feet away from the mizbeach with the kabbalah, now you have to walk up to the mizbeach. That's called a major holacha, meaning you walk the whole way there. Everybody agrees that you can passel that if you have a machsheves psul, and even Rabbi Shimon would agree, which is definitely not true, as we know from the Mishnah, but right now, this is what we're entertaining, that even Rabbi Shimon would be moted, that if you did a halacha that you couldn't avoid, I mean, you're going to have to get to the Mizbeach. How the heck are you going to get to the Mizbeach if you don't walk? Okay, so then you're going to do the halacha. If you had actually a psul, machsheves psul would work. So Dafka, the only machlokas in the Mishnah, would be for that period of acceleration of the dam towards the moment of Zrika. So Rabbi Shimon holds, that's not considered to be halacha, and therefore it doesn't passel. But according to the Rabbanan, even that's considered to be halacha. Now they heard this in Eretz Yisrael, and they burst out laughing. Oh, man, what a bunch of idiots. Now, The truth is that we're going to see that the reason that they burst out laughing is because it meant that you don't even know how to read the Mishnah. But we thought that the reason that they burst out laughing, because of course we don't want to say that we're that stupid here in Bavel. So what we said was that the reason that they burst out laughing was because what would you say about a case of a chatas ha'of? Now, we know a chatas ha'of, it's possible to have a psul machshava in a chatas ha'of, but it should not be possible. The chatas ha'of, remember, is not done with the etzba. The chatas ha'of, as we spoke about before, is done by actually, there's no klishares, there's no etzba. What there is that the actual oaf itself, the body of the oaf, which now has a neck that has blood in it, you swing that oaf towards the Mizbeach, which is exactly this idea of that acceleration, and then the blood is spritzes onto the Mizbeach. Later on, we're going to see that that is considered to be the equivalent of a psul that would have been by a Zevach. Now, the way that we're talking right now, that the acceleration phase of the dam is viewed as a holacha and not as a zrika, if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Shimon, the acceleration phase is not a psul because it's a holacha shelo beregel, which doesn't pasul, so then according to, this is why we thought they were laughing, this is a pretty sophisticated laugh, you know, so according to Rabbi Shimon, how would we ever have a psul machshava? If the Kohen was thinking about it before the dam actually came out of the neck of the bird, so it was still in the acceleration phase, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're saying the acceleration phase is not considered to be an act of holacha. So then the fact that he had a machsheva spigel would not passel it, lav klumi. And if you already applied the brakes, and now the dam is on its way to the Mizbeach, having exited the neck, because you put on a stop on the neck, then the dam is already finished. You did what there is to do. Can you do anything else? No. There's nothing else for you to do. If that's the case, if the dam is already gone out of the neck, then isavida le mitzvato, then you have done that mitzvah. So what's the difference if you now have a machsheves psul? That's why they laughed. There's no reason to laugh at that. Why is that a problem? I don't understand what the problem is. There is a period between the acceleration and the actual impact of the dam on the mizbeach. The meaning of the zrika is that entire period from the moment that you put on the brakes on the acceleration and then that dam continues to flow towards the Mizbeach through the air with the greatest of ease. That period is the period of the zrika. So during that period when the dam is on its way to the Mizbeach, the person had a machsheves psul. What's wrong? Dilma, midaporish v'ad demata l'mizbeach. Look, I mean, this is obviously a problem. That period is considered to be the period of the Zrika. Now, the way to prove that it's really seriously a period of Zrika, the only one that's going to really have the guts to talk about this is Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah doesn't care about getting thrown out of the Beis HaMedrash with his stupid questions because his whole point in life is to bring out through absurd scenarios to bring out what's the din. Okay, don't give me the such a thing would never happen. Is that what we're talking about, whether such a thing happens? I'm asking you what would happen if it would happen. Don't tell me it never happened. That's a balabatasha answer. Rabbi Yirmiyah was the ultimate none, couldn't care less about balabatasha answers. Tell me what would happen. So he's got a case over here, another one of his crazy cases. The Kohen actually goes ahead, and he was being Zorek the Dam, and somebody comes along and says, Allah Akbar, and he cuts the Kohen's hand off. And just then the dam lands on the Mizbeach. So the Allah Akbar was right there at the moment that the dam was in the air. What would happen then? Do we say that since the Kohen is a Balmum, at the time that the Dom lands on the Mizbeach that it's considered to be an Aveda by a Balmun. Now, whatever you think about the case, the point is that we're taking for granted that that means that the period between the end of the acceleration and the flow of the Dom towards the Mizbeach is considered to be the period of the Zrika. And therefore, we can fairly ask what would be the din if the Kohen is a Balmun. And they actually told him, Reb Zera told Reb Yirmia, that in that case, if nikta yador shel hamazeh ad shelo higi adam la'avir ha-mizbeach, Reb Zera said, it is pasul. Why is it pasul? Because since it says in the pasuk, v'hizah min adam sheva pamim lifnei Hashem, and then it says, v'natan ha-kohen min adam ha-karnot ha-mizbeach, we also learn from there that there's a connection between the hazah and the netinah. And the avodah starts with hazah, but then you have to actually do the netinah. If you don't have a hand, you don't have a netinah. So it's a remez to the hand needing to be there until the zrika is completed. So therefore, if he had a machsheves psul, it would actually possel it. Why not? So that would work out perfectly well, according to Rabbi Shimon. So why were they laughing? When they came back from the Beis HaMedrash, says, amen. They laughed because somebody didn't even know how to read the Mishnah. The reason that they laughed is because this is ridiculous to say that the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan is not in Halacha Rabbati. The whole Mishnah is talking about Halacha Rabbati. What's the matter with you? Hainu chukah. This is why they left. But Halacha Rabbati lo plige. You're trying to tell me that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan didn't have an argument about the theoretical possibility of the bittul of the Halacha, even though the Halacha in the particular case was absolutely necessary because the Kabbalah took place 10 feet away and you need to do Halacha Rabbati. That's the case in the Mishnah, for God's sake. Look what Rabbi Shimon says. He says it's efshir levatla. It's theoretically possible to do it without Halacha. So therefore, even though you're doing it with Halacha, the theoretical possibility is what makes it not a source of Machsheves Psul. Now, can't you read? So what are you trying to tell me, that the Machlokas in the Mishnah is talking about where they did the Shechita and the Kabbalah right up next to the Mizbeach, and you're giving me all of this business about rocket science and accelerations and blood flowing through the... Come off it, man. It's a very straightforward Mishnah, that's all. So when they try to tell you, listen, Zvachim's not rocket science. Not true. Anyway, it's at least not in Bavel. So Hakki Plige, the whole Machlokas was Dafka, Bolacha Rabati Plige. Okay. So sorry, I'm taking the whole thing back. Obviously, the way that we explained the Mishnah was ridiculous. All right. So let me say this again. What I meant to say was that Bolacha Zutrat, this part that you're calling a Halacha Zutrati, meaning that it's the acceleration period. It's that phase of the Zrika, which is acceleration. Kuli amalo plige do lo pasla. Everybody agrees that that's not considered to be a psul, because that's not Halacha. That's part of the Zrika. Okay, now others have a different gerusa, which Rashi says he thinks is more correct. That what it should say is that everybody agrees that the phase of the Zrika, which is a Halacha, is actually pasul. Why? Because there's no way to do a Zrika without that acceleration phase of the blood. And therefore, even Rabbi Shimon is made that that is a Halacha / Zrika. And that, of course, is pasul. Okay, so two different gersaot. The other way of reading it is the way we have it, is that it's not possible because that itself is not the Halacha. That's part of the act of the preparation for the Zrika. So therefore we would read it, Halacha Zutrati Kuleyama Lo Pligi Dolo Pasat Ki Pligi. The Machlokas was only in the other case where you are walking 20 feet to get to the Mizbeach. But Rabbi Shimon says, okay, but you didn't have to walk 20 feet, did you? I mean, you could have worked things out that you did the Shechita and the Kabbalah next to the Mizbeach, and then you wouldn't have had to walk at all. So therefore, it's not considered to be a Aveda in terms of its being a necessary matir. That doesn't mean it's not an Aveda to be puzzle bizarre and so on. Of course it's an Aveda, but it's not a matir because it's not needed for the Eter of the carbon itself, okay? Therefore, things are getting much more clear. Now, we have another issue about a halacha of a czar. So suppose a czar actually did a regular halacha. He moves it to 20 feet, comes all the way up to the Mizbeach, and he was molich the dam. And now, hirziro kohen v'chazar v'holicha. So now the Kohen, who was supposed to do the halacha, he sees this guy, hey, buddy, get out of here, man. And he runs after him. He takes it back from him, brings it back to where it was, and he redoes the halacha. What's the din? So in that case, pligi ba b'nei Rebbe Chiya and Rebbe Yannai. Chad omer kosher, v'chad omer pasul. There the question is, is it considered to be a kosher halacha now that it was redone or not? Obviously, this is what we had discussed previously about efshela takuna. So, one, we don't know who says what, but the Mandi Omar who says that it would be kosher even though the czar had brought it, he obviously holds that it's a passive problem. It's just that you didn't do the halacha. Okay, so now go back and do it. All right, so I'll go back and do it. The other Mandi Omar holds, no, it's an active psul. And therefore, it's still, if you did it by a czar, you can't fix it. So remember, this is not the same question. Before we were talking about if it was a halacha shelo beregel, can it be fixed or not, right? We said before that halacha shelo beregel can be fixed, because that is obviously passive. But here the question is, it's a halacha with a czar. Now, when a czar does an aveda, he actually passels it. So here the question is, there, even though you may hold that efshel takuna when it came to halacha shelo beregel, that doesn't mean that efshel takuna when it comes to halacha of a czar, because the czar's input into the halacha is an actual psul, just like if a czar would have done any of the avedas, he passes it. That's the difference. Now, what about in a mirror case where the kohen had actually done a proper halacha? Now, there's this weirdo czar who always fancied himself to be a kohen, and he doesn't want to mess anything up. He knows he's not really a kohen, but he says, gosh, I wonder what it would feel like to be a kohen and walk that blood over to the Mizbeach, you know? So, yes, Barnea's thinking, boy, oh boy, wait till I get my hands on that guy. I can see it's just like starting to boil. But this guy, he figures he'll take it back where Barnea left it, bring it all the way back to where it was before. And now he figures since he paid an entrance fee, that includes the right for him to feel what it would be like to do a halacha. And now he walks it again. So now the question, and this guy grabs it, takes it back to where it was, and he says, I'm better than Barnea any day. So he goes ahead and he brings it. So now, what would be the din in the mirror case? Well, Reb Shimi Barashi says, well, the mirror case is the mirror halacha. Because if you hold in the first case that it's kosher, so then that means you only look at the most recent way of bringing the dam to the Mizbeach. How did it get here, practically speaking? Right now, I'm going to be doing the zrika on the dam that was brought by a kosher coin, so now it's kosher. But then that means that in this case, you would hold that it's possible. Because, okay, practically speaking, how did I get this dam? Because this weirdo brought it, so then it's not kosher. And according to the Mandi Omar, who said it was possible in the previous case, because it all goes according to the one who originally brought it, And the Kohen can't redo it, so then in this case it would be kosher, because it all goes according to the one who originally brought it, and that was Barnea, and that meant that it was kosher. The fact that some weirdo does something afterwards doesn't register, because the latest thing is irrelevant, right? So it follows that a mirror case of halacha would be a mirror case lahalacha. Says Rava, no. Because in this case, even the man d'Omar, who said it was pasul in the first case, because you can't fix it even when the Kohen goes over it, but he would still agree that in this case where the weirdo brought it, it's still pasul, even though originally it was brought by Barnea. That's the pasuk, right? I think it says, Kol Mokom Shenemar Barnea Ubanav, it's something like that. I remember that vaguely. Maybe we'll see it later. So anyway, the din is, I hold, that it would still be possible. You know why? Because practically speaking, do we need to get this dam to the Mizbeach or do we not? So when Mr. Weirdo brings it away from the Mizbeach, so now what do we do? How are we supposed to do this recap? So we still need somebody to bring it over to the Mizbeach, don't we? Well, if the person who brought it over to the Mizbeach is a Zar, so then it's possible. There's no such thing as the first bringing it. What do you mean the first bringing it? But it's not there. So I hold that the logistic requirement to get it there is itself the equivalent of the need for the halacha up front. And right now, in this case, it's the weirdo who's doing it. So it's still going to be puzzle, even though maybe it was done originally b'kashrus. Who cares if it was done originally b'kashrus? How am I getting it back to the Mizbeach? So since Tzarech Lamtuya, you got to bring it back to the Mizbeach, that itself makes it an aveda of real halacha. So if the Tzar brought it back, it's puzzle. Omar le Reb Yirmiyah le Reb Ashi. Let me tell you something. I heard from Reb Yirmiyah Midifti that actually, this issue about whether the logistical requirement to get it back to the Mizbeach recreates the need for an actual proper halacha, that is the Machlokas Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan. Mamish. This Tzarech Lamtuyeh is this concept of where it's a logistic requirement. Is that enough? Is the Machlokas in our Mishnah between Rebbe Eliezer and Rabbanan? Look at the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Now, he said something that was very, very opaque. I mean, nobody knew what that meant. I'm telling you that.
Rabbi, I'm sorry. Last time, Rabbi was very lucky to change it to Rabbi Eliezer, like the boss.
Okay. I understand that, but there's what to discuss about. Yeah, all right. It's not. So it says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Hamahalech b'makom she'tzarich lahalech machshava poselet. B'makom she'ein tzarich lahalech ein machshava poselet. So what does that mean? Tell me what it means. Where you need to walk, where you don't need to walk. What does that mean? And Rava explained what it means is this. Everybody agrees that in the event that the Kabbalah Saddam was far, b'chutz does not mean outside, obviously, literally outside. It's a very misleading Gemara because usually b'chutz means outside of the Azorah. If you took the dam outside of the Azorah, it would be puzzled. So that's not the issue here. It means further away from the Mizbeach. So everybody agrees. Where the Kabbalah was far away from the Mizbeach, and then you bring it next to the Mizbeach. That is a hiluch. That is a necessary hiluch. But suppose the Kabbalah was closer to the Mizbeach, and you took it away from the Mizbeach, and now you're walking with it towards the Mizbeach. There, the question of whether it's a psul, if it's done wrongly, that's not the hiluch. That's not the hiluch at all, because you didn't need to do it, and a machsheves psul at that point, where you're taking it away, that would not be a way to possel it. The problem would be only Lonechleku, where first the dam was already done, the hiluch was proper. And now you took it away, and now you need to redo it. And when you redo it, then you add a machshavas psul. So the Tanakama holds, look, what's the difference if you once brought it? Right now you need to bring it back. That's called Tzorich Le'amtuye. And Tzorich Le'amtuye is a real halacha and would actually cause a psu'. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds, no, it's not a hilucha Tzorich La'avoda dummy. It's ridiculous. It's a pure logistical requirement. And that's not the meaning of halacha as a logistical requirement. The halacha is an act of hakrova. And that's why we refer to it in that way. It's a way of bringing it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question of the logistical need to get it to the Mizbeach, that's not the definition of halacha at all. Then that's the whole beautiful point that Rabbi Eliezer is making, which is that even though you are doing a proper halacha from 20 feet away, yeah, that's not halacha. What do you think? Halacha just means getting dam to the Mizbeach. The dam was already at the Mizbeach. Therefore, the avoda was complete. A lovely understanding of what Tzorich Le'alechet means. Eisvei Abaye, how can Rava explain Rabbi Eliezer in that way if Rabbi Eliezer himself says that that's not what he means? Look at this braita. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, HaMahalech Makom SheTzorich Le'alech Machshava Poselet. Okay, what do I mean? Here Rabbi Eliezer explains it himself. Ketzad, if you were mekabel the dam far away from the Mizbeach and you bring it closer to the Mizbeach, that is a hiluch shetzorich lahalech. If you were mekabel the dam near the Mizbeach and you take it away from the Mizbeach, that is not holocha. That is a hiluch she'ein tzorich lelech. But I don't understand. Now, what would that mean? That if, I mean, this is the only implication I can see, that if at that point the Kohen would bring it back again, then it would be a hiluch shetzorich lahalich. All he said is that if you're going in the opposite direction, then that's not called halacha because you're bringing it away. That obviously. So if he's saying that if the Kohen would bring it back again, it would be tzorich lamtuye and it would be called tzorich lahalich. So, yes, Rava's explanation made Rabbi Eliezer much more beautiful than Rabbi Eliezer makes himself. I mean, he turns it into a very simple, straightforward discussion. What are you going to say about that, Rava? Yeah, what I'm going to say is, look, if that's what it says, that's what it says. But sometimes what it says isn't as nice as what I say. But Tanya, if that's the Braita, that's the Braita. You can't argue with City Hall. And this brings us to a very special moment with our esteemed Capitan, Hadran Alach Kol HaZivachim. Wow. All right, we'll wait for... We could certainly do a Fontan, but I think we've exhausted our period of time. But sure, let's at least start to be able to... Kol azvachim shekiblu damam zar onein tvo yom uchuser kipurim uchuser begadim shol rochutz yadayim veraglayim and orel atameya yoshev and omir agabe kelim and so on. We're going to go through all of the psulim for all of the various avodas, and we've read some of this idea when we were talking about halacha that was done in this fashion. We're going to get back tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, to the new perek and to the Mishnah that describes all of the various psulim. Whew, it's been a long journey just to work out the Arba Matirin Machsheves psul, and all this last piece about the different ways of looking at halacha shelo beregel, and amazing.